everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm so excited to welcome special guest Nancy Aizawa. Now, Nancy was born and raised in Long Beach. And for all you USC Trojan alumni out there, Nancy is a graduate of the University of Southern California and a former 4.0 student, I might add. She also received her PharmD from USC at Mann School of Pharmacy. She's a retired pharmacist, having spent 32 years at the Rancho Los Amigos Hospital in Downey. Here at Catalyst, Nancy was a part of the launch of the Catalyst Prayer Ministry and is also a small group leader. She's married to Bob, and this year they celebrate 47 years together. Together, they have two adopted children, son Matt and daughter Stephanie, all both grown up. Nancy loves fishing and the outdoors, and one of her favorite spots is going up to Lake Crowley and around Mammoth. And with that, Nancy, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Well, thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here. And one correction, we've been married, this year will be 46
years. Oh, 46 years. Okay, yeah. I stand corrected. Sorry for being off a year. Well, you know, speaking of that, 47 years, wow. I thought you were 47 years old.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. I'll take that.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, so what is your secret to the fountain of youth?
Well, I think it helps to be retired. I get plenty of sleep. I have the time and energy to pursue the things I love and are meaningful. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, I always tell people, retirement's been the best years of my life.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, I've heard it once said that no one ever on their deathbed says that they wish they had spent more time in the office, right?
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you and Bob plan to do when you get to 50 years? You got some kind of place you want to go to or see? Or
I would like to take a family vacation to Hawaii, but...
Okay.
Bob wanted to do a big party, which I don't know. Oh, yeah. And then he also wanted to rent the In-N-Out truck or something church. But I don't know if we have a few years still to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the big party sounds nice. I mean, I think, and this will be a good segue into our first section because, you know, whenever guests, pastors, speakers, ministry leaders visit Catalyst, you know, they seem to always end up at your place, right?
That's right,
And so you've been blessing other people, you know, throughout the years. And yeah, it's great if there can be this big party to celebrate both you and Bob, huh? Now, I know many times also times that you host these guests include a trip to either Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm in their stay as well. And so I wanted to start by asking you about how you and Bob first became the Hotel Aizawa for so many of the ministry leaders.
You know, it started way back when we were married. His dad was part of this, I don't know if you've heard of the Full Gospel Businessmen's group. Well, his dad invited us to that one of the meetings, and during the meeting, I think, you know, you're kind of on a table with different people, and there was this one guy from New Zealand who was sharing, and he said, you know, he felt like the Lord wanted him to come, and that someone would provide a place for him to stay. And as soon as Bob said, I mean, heard that, he wanted to.
He felt like he was the one that had to host him.
So that was the very first time. But I had a lot of hesitation because who knew who this guy was.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was kind of a big guy. And so I had to overcome this fear of having a stranger in my house.
Okay.
You know, my mind started imagining all kinds of things, you know, that could happen.
Yeah.
But
well, I imagine you need time to warm up to the idea too, because I think, you know, you had told me at one point that, you know, Bob can be impulsive at times. So, you know, when he
Exactly. He hears something or he gets an idea and it's yes, and let's do it now. Whereas I'm like, wait, hold on. I need to think this through.
Right, right.
But, and I needed that because I was kind of scared. It's always hard to do something for the first time, as we talked and I just asked the Lord.
Okay.
I felt like, yes, this is from him. That was actually the very first time that I remember hosting someone in our house. And even that first night, I was like, what did I get myself into? But it was such a great experience because this guy was really someone who heard the Holy Spirit and just followed, you know, what he did to just come to this meeting and believe that somebody would host him. And that happened to be us.
Yeah.
And I think actually he came back another time with his wife and hosted them. So that was the beginning. But Bob always still likes having parties. I think that was kind of the first thing he always wanted to. And then, well, some people know that we have this canasta party like every month or every other month.
Yeah, and for those listening that maybe don't know what canastas is, share.
It's a card game, and it's fun because there's two teams. Uh-huh. And it's a game I grew up with my family. It's what I liked about it growing up in my family was eventually, and my dad was the one who always wanted to play, and he as soon as the grandkids were able to play cards, he would teach them. So it was fun. It was a fun game that where three generations could play.
Yeah.
And it was fun. Yeah. So we had to teach some of our friends who never played cards, and that was kind of a challenge for me. But it's fun.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to follow up on this because you once shared with me that you feel like you and Bob reap the benefits of opening up your place to Christian leaders. And so I wondered if you can speak to those blessings that you and Bob receive by hosting these guests.
Well, one of the things we feel like, God has connected us with a lot of different leaders and pastors, missionaries, and this came from Bob, but you know, we just feel like we want to bless these people who are really working for the kingdom, because just to give them a break, we don't want them to do any ministry. We just want them to have time to have fun, and especially with the family.
Yeah.
So, every people that stay with us, they're so blessed and they're so appreciative to have fun with their family.
Yeah.
But when I think of the people that, we've hosted some pastors from from Africa, and Hong Kong, Canada, a lot of you know Dean and Carrie Shima. They're a blessing because we don't want them to, like we said, we just want people to have some rest and relaxation and a good time.
You called it your place of refuge, huh?
Right.
For them.
They always minister to us, you know? we're blessed. I want to tell you this one story. We met Pastor Solomon and his wife Grace from Swaziland, but it's a different name now, but they stayed at our house. This was when my son was, I think he had just graduated from college, but the four of us were in our living room and talking, and my son came in, and they just felt like, he's really struggling with something right now. And I think at the time he was trying to figure out what to do with the rest of his life.
Okay.
You know, career wise. But so they prayed, and I remember it was such a powerful prayer. And Grace's wife, after the prayer, she looked at me and she goes, "It's done." And the way she said it was like
very convincing.
Yeah, it was, and yeah, things changed after that for him.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, so I mean, things like that. That's one example.
Yeah.
But I guess people that are so, you know, working for the kingdom, it's hard for them to stop.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. I mean, that's what I was going to say, because you know, maybe to you and I, it looks like they're working, right? You know, and no, we just want you to relax, but they're actually just being themselves, aren't they?
Yeah.
they're just operating in the element and the way that God has
and these
taught
people
them.
Are, you know, they're just all committed to the kingdom and you know, they're living that life, and it so I don't know, we're just always blessed by it, by whoever shows up.
House. So it seems like what you've shared, that maybe Bob has always had the gift of hospitality, and you kind of, and maybe it was in you too, but it's just you needed to warm up to the idea, huh?
Yeah, well, when I think about my family, my mom and dad, my dad always liked having the family over, and then like I said, we would eat,
and then we would play
cards. So I was used to having, you know, hosting family, for Bob, he likes to expand his, you know,
circle people. Of friends, right?
Yeah. And then he always seems to like connect with leaders, and you know, he's always like close to the pastor. He's, you know, he and Pastor Barry are good friends, and it was the same when we were at Cerritos. He was good friends with Pastor Gary.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, so here's an observation. The apostles, you know, back in the Bible, they stayed with guests in all the cities that they ministered to. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me that Apostle Paul said, always be eager to practice hospitality. That's, you know, Romans 12, the second part of verse 13. And Apostle Peter said, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay, 1 Peter 4:9. And so it made me wonder, you know, as you were sharing your story, I thought they spoke these words to show hospitality to others. But I wonder if in addition to being, you know, the charitable thing to do, that somehow they knew that the blessing would, that blessing would open up to those that had their homes opened up to receive, you know, and to receive that blessing by their act of service. So, just the thought, and obviously, I mean, you've been the beneficiary of a lot of those blessings, you and Bob, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, mainly we like having fun, so it's always a good time. And just to meet people from all over the world. That's been really amazing. It's been like an adventure, you know, to see who God connects us with and the people that stay in our home.
Just
getting to know these people has been such a blessing.
Right. Now I know why you said you like retirement so much. I mean, it's
definitely.
I love that. It's an adventure for you now.
Yeah. You know, even when we were both working, we would host people, but now I mean, but especially now, well, and then we have an empty nest too. So
that's right.
It does take time and energy. So definitely since we're retired, it's opened up a lot.
Yeah. Now, Nancy, your house has also been known as the Aizawa House of Prayer, and you referred to your house affectionately that way. And so I wanted to see how that came about what did that look like in your own words?
Okay, well, you know, we had a intercessors group, led by Anna Villanueva, and so we would meet at our house. You know, sometimes we met at her house, or sometimes here at the Freedom Center. But it was nice to host different meetings. We also we call them the Canadian Mamas, women from a Zion church in Vancouver. They visited us, stayed at our home, and we've had meetings with them, and they did a lot to teach us and to our for our prayer intercessors group. They really mentored us and prayed for us and encouraged us. Mm-hmm. So we've had different leaders and different meetings at our house, and so it's not just parties, but it's prayer meetings too.
Yeah, got to have that balance, right? Yeah, and I loved how too we were talking earlier when I had met with you the last time about prayer and how important prayer is to you, to all of us. And you were talking about how the Lord has impacted you through Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And so I wondered if you can just share about that, the impact of that verse. And
I think that verse really helped me. I work full time and, raising a family, and it was just a busy, busy time. And especially having kids, I think every parent, it's so easy to worry about things or when you're just so busy and stressed. So I really wanted to experience, that verse actually says, don't worry about anything. It says don't be anxious. So that tells me I can have a worry-free life. But instead, it says, instead of worrying, pray about everything.
Yes.
Tell God what you need and with thanksgiving, mm-hmm, and you'll mm-hmm. have peace. So I took that verse to heart. And so anytime I felt anxious or worried, it was like, okay, I need to pray, and I need to ask God for what I need, and also to be thankful that he promises peace. And I mean, I remember just thinking and meditating on that verse every day, because every day was so
something
busy, and like I said, it was it's a challenge to have peace and not worry. And, just the busyness of life.
Yeah.
So, and in a way, I feel like I turned worry into a friend, because it was, if I found myself worried, it was a reminder I need to probably give things to the Lord.
Yeah, wow. Well, I tell you what, Nancy, that is... Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is definitely one of my favorite verses, mm-hmm. if not my favorite verse. And I think you hit the nail on the head that it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, you just said it, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And we were talking about this too, that just that spirit of thanksgiving, huh? That there's something about when I'm thankful, I'm not thinking about my problems and pitying myself, but it puts me in that a different mindset almost.
Right. It's hard to be thankful and like anxious at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. Or thankful and complaining and thinking about what I don't have. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, then that peace will come after, we've done these things. Mm-hmm. So I just think that's so meaningful.
And another, powerful. I think another good verse is, casting all your cares upon God, because he cares for you. So just, whatever's on my mind, okay, Lord, I give everyone and everything to you.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good prayer.
Yes, yes.
It's just... give it whatever's heavy on your heart, whatever's weighing you down, to just give it to God.
Yes, yes.
And he'll take care of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, that what you just said there is a good segue into our next section, because for you, growing up, for the most part, you've controlled everything you've wanted or you could ask for, right, in your life. You were top student. On the playground at school, you were always the team captain and the one that got to choose who you wanted on your team and kind of deciding the fate of the other kids. And then you went on to a great university, graduated from pharmacy school, got a rewarding job as a pharmacist. So, you know, everything that you could have wanted and asked for, you got. However, when it came to having children, you finally encountered a situation that you couldn't fully control. And so you marry Bob and you're thinking, you know, gosh, great, I'll get pregnant. I'll start having children, starting a family. So tell me about that time in your life and what happened.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably one of the most challenging things I've had to face. Like you said, I had no control. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was so hard to understand what God was, why, mm-hmm. you know, why mm-hmm. not? Because yeah. I knew I was praying for something good, and I felt like I was really praying His will, you know.
Yeah.
You know, what hit me was I believe God can do anything, you know. Nothing's yeah. impossible. We
right.
did have some, you know, we did try going to a infertility doctor. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. did some tests and stuff, and their recommendation after all our testing and stuff was that we should consider a donation, mm-hmm. you know, and that didn't sit right with us as we prayed about it. So it was kind of like, well, I've got to leave it in God's hands. And it was hard because Bob, he was able to accept that. I mean, his thing was, well, if God wants us to have kids, we'll have kids,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to do as much as I could, mm-hmm. you know, and, well, like I said, I felt like we did as much as we could do medical, you know, procedures. But
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so then at some point I wanted to look into adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And
what made you, I guess, open up to that idea?
Well, when I thought about it, okay, there's only three possible
yeah.
Options or results. One was, you know, God would answer my prayer. I would get pregnant and have a biological child. Or the other yeah. thing was adoption. Or maybe I was also, I mean, I think Bob was more okay with just not having kids.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
just to accept mm-hmm. that, well, that's God's plan for us. But I really didn't think that was God's plan for us. So, but it was real, you know, spiritually was a struggle because it was, I think it hit me that it's not that He can't overcome any obstacles. It's that He, for whatever reason, He wasn't answering that prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's, you know, it was such a hard place to be because it seemed like everybody I knew who was married, you yeah. know, all my friends, people at church, relatives, everybody was starting a family.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
it was like, I think it was the first time in my life I felt like, you know, I was being left out. I was overlooked. I was mm-hmm. like, God, you know, I was just had so many questions, but I was, you know what? I was really angry at mm-hmm, God, because mm-hmm. I thought it wasn't, why are you blessing everybody but not me? And why have you given me such a desire to be a mom and,
right.
you know, it's not happening.
Right, right.
So,
yeah, I mean, it's almost as you're explaining that, it's like now you're the other kid on the playground that
yep.
isn't being chosen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never had that experience.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
I said, I was the one choosing who was on my team, and I think that was the first time I felt like, oh, that's how it must feel to be the last one chosen or not, you know, someone you didn't really want. But anyways,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I knew that, I mean, part of what God was doing as I, you know, as I've just really wondering, what is His plan for
yeah.
us?
Yeah.
For me. And
at that point, you didn't have peace in your life, and you prayed to God one day and you asked of God something, and I wondered if you can share about that.
Yeah, I think I got to the point where I really wanted to know, okay, what is your will?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I was at that, you know, before that I was so set on, you know, I just, something I assumed would happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't happening. And then when I mentioned adoption to Bob, he didn't seem too open. And so at that point I felt like, well, it's either adoption or, but I felt like I had to at least be open to the, maybe his plan was for us not to have children, but I said this to the Lord. I said, if that's your will, then give me peace about it. Help me to really accept that.
Accept that, yeah.
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 And I'm open. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's, you know, if that's your plan, then you'll give me peace and I'll feel okay about it. I'll be able to accept it. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like take away this desire to be a mom, So, but I felt like it was a good place to be, and I felt like that was where he wanted me to be, to just, like, be open to his, what his plan was.
Right.
And, but what happened, and I was, I think it was, it could have been that very day. Bob, at the time, was working at Hughes Aircraft in the graphic design part department. And part of it was he met different vendors. And one of the, there was a woman that he met who happened to, I don't know, I guess he kind of got to know her, but she mentioned that, I think he must have mentioned that we were considering adoption, because we didn't know anyone at that time who had gone through that process, so we didn't really know.
Okay.
And I think I wanted to, my choice was if we did adopt, to try to adopt from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, she happened to tell him that she knew a couple who did adopt from Japan, and she asked him, are you interested in meeting them?
Uh-huh.
And he came home and he told me that, and so, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We met them, and they told us the whole adoption procedure. It was a kind of, sounded kind of complicated, but because there was an attorney in Hawaii that worked with this woman in Tokyo, but that's how they adopted. And so,
and that was really an answer to prayer, because you had prayed the prayer, God, either you're going to have to change me or change Bob, right?
Right.
And because
he
wasn't open to adoption at the time.
Yeah.
And now, you know, now that things are kind of, the wheels are spinning, he's this opportunity comes available.
Right.
Maybe he's changed, more open to it.
Yeah. And so, so we did start the adoption process. And one of the things, first thing you have to do is get a home study. And so, you know, and it's so we found an adoption agency here where we could do our home study, and basically it's there are social workers that come visit you. You know, I mean, you have to fill out a lot of paperwork and finances and this and that, but they come to your home, they see your home, and they ask you questions, and
kind of like a screening process.
Yes, So I think that was the initial meeting. And then the second meeting was meeting individually with us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I met with this woman, the social worker, and then she met separately with Bob. Okay, so the next morning I get a phone call from the social worker, and she told me she couldn't pass us. She couldn't approve our home study. And I was floored. I was like, what happened?
Yeah.
And she said, well, I found out later that, okay, I got to tell you this background, what happened.
Yeah.
The timing was terrible, because it was during the time that, it must have been in 87, right?
Uh-huh,
where
uh-huh.
The Lakers were playing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That night, I guess, when she came, they lost, and he was just in such a terrible mood. And so what he told her was, and I wanted to make sure I got this right. So I actually asked him this morning, what exactly did you say to the social worker? And he said, I just said, I don't care if we have kids or not. He didn't say, I don't want kids. He goes, I don't care whether we have them or not. But I think it was also that he was in such a terrible mood.
Yeah, the way that came across.
Yeah. Anyways, I was just devastated. I was shocked. I was so, I don't think I've ever been this angry with him, you know, that I couldn't believe this happened. So it's probably the maddest I've ever been with him, but this is what I said. I said, if we can't adopt, I'm going to be bitter for the rest of my life. And then I just couldn't let it go. So anyway, I ended up calling the agency again, and I spoke to the director there, and she was also a social worker, and I explained as best I could and what happened, and I said, is there any way we can have a second chance? And she did. She gave us a second chance, and actually she was the one who came back, and I guess Bob realized that, you know, it was that important to me. But so we did pass.
Yeah.
We did pass. And then later that year, in 87, we found out about Matt, who was, when we got his picture, he was 18 months old, cute as can be, we had to travel to Japan to pick him up. That was in March of 88, and so we adopted him, and then later on in 1990 we wanted to adopt again, and so this time we went through an agency called Holt that worked with Korea. And that process was so much easier because we didn't have any. We passed the home study again.
Yeah.
And we got Stephanie when she was 3 months old. We didn't have to travel. It was nice because they actually just send them over on the plane with an adult that they arrange. And we picked her up at LAX.
So, you know, I have to say, the thing that I love is I love when there's a testimony within the testimony. And you know, those words way back in the day that you had said to Bob at the time, that, you know, if this doesn't happen for us, you know, I'm going to resent this for the rest of my, you know, I'm going to be resentful for the rest of my life. At the time, you didn't realize the impact that response had. And just this morning, I just think that our listeners are going to love hearing this story. The Lord highlighted that to you, and so I wondered if you can talk now about what happened this morning and how the Lord revealed that to you.
Oh man, this was really the Lord. Okay, so I had a feeling I was pretty sure I would be talking about that this morning. So I asked Bob. I wanted to make sure I got the exact words what he said, and I asked him, what exactly did you say to the social worker that made her not want to pass this? And he told me, all I said was, I don't care if we have kids or not. And then later on he goes, he told me I'll be a bitter woman for the rest of my life. And the thought of, I guess, living with a bitter woman for the rest of his life didn't sound good. And then he said, I didn't have a choice. The way he said it, I was like, it hit me like, oh, it still bothers him that I threatened him and he felt forced and that he didn't have a choice. And then But then later on, we were in the kitchen, and it just hit me. And I asked it, Bob, did I ever ask you to forgive me for what I said to you? And he goes, I kind of thought he did, but he goes, no, because you always justified what he said. And then I said, oh, well, you know what? Do you think you could forgive me for what I said and how I threaten you, and I even thought it was like a curse, you know. You're gonna have to live with a bitter woman the rest of your life.
And it's almost like a negative declaration. Huh?
Yeah, so when I asked him, "Will you forgive me?" He goes, "Let me think about it." But I didn't, you know. I thought, well, yeah, you could think about it. But then I also felt like, you know what? I mean, in the name of Jesus, I said, I renounce that curse over you.
Yeah.
And you know, I just bless you. I just bless you that you're my husband. You're a dad, and I just blessed him. And And then,
what was that like? What was that like for you in the moment of speaking that blessing over Bob in that moment?
Oh, it felt so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like I was cleansing that hole. I was getting. I mean, I'm sure there was healing for Bob, and just for me, feeling free of that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know,
something was released for you as well in that moment. Yeah. So, yeah, and I think, you know, one thing that you had shared with me too, and you know, and just keeping this thing very real, was the social worker that had taken you through the screening process. After the agency didn't pass you, she had actually made a comment to you, and I wondered if you can talk about that too, because it just speaks to, you know, your commitment and just your honoring God in a way. So I wondered if you can speak to what it was she said.
Yeah, when the social worker called me, I could tell she felt so bad
for
because
you.
She knew how much I wanted to adopt.
And yeah.
So she told me, well, if you really want to do this, you could always adopt as a single mom. Mm. And I'm like, oh, you know, I mean, when I thought about it, it was like, well, that, I mean, she was
suggesting divorce.
Yeah. Which, oh, that, you know, that surprised me. And that was like the farthest thing from my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
For you, that was never an option.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it was just, I knew it was a big hurdle, but you know, because marriage is about compromise, but there's certain, you know, there was, you know, if you really didn't want to have kids and I wanted it, there's no compromise. And I know there have been couples that have divorced over that, but anyways, I just knew that, you know, God makes a way. If you're willing to work on it to, you know, resolve these things. Even though they might seem insurmountable.
Right.
That was, yeah. I'm thankful that for both of us, you know, we never thought about divorce, we've had some pretty big struggles, and we're just so different. But I think we both knew that we can work it out somehow. And and I also feel like God's given us a lot of resources. You know, there have been times when we've gone to our pastor, we've gone to, you know, our small group, our church community is very supportive. And we've even gone to counseling through, I mean, we're, you know, we're both committed to make it work.
Right, right.
And I feel like God's provided the resources for us.
That
kind of floored me when she suggested that.
Mm-hmm,
but
Yeah.
I wonder if I told him that. I mean, what she said, I probably did, but.
I think she could probably really sense how much you wanted, wanted this to work out.
Uh-huh.
So tell me about the day that, the first day when you found out that you had passed. What was that like? You must have been overjoyed.
It almost didn't happen.
But
you know, even that was confirmation that God was making a way for us.
Got
a second chance.
And so tell me about the day you find out that Matt is available, and so you go to Japan to pick him up.
Oh, gee, I just remember.
Probably mixed emotions, right? I mean, I'm sure you're really excited, maybe a little nervous, maybe, or two.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I just, when they tell you, they send a picture, and actually it was a picture of him with his birth mom. And
okay.
He was just so cute, and I don't know, it was so exciting. The other thing that I felt like was a real provision for us was that, because we had to go to, this was our first time in Japan. My mom had a cousin who lived in Tokyo, and he was actually a doctor, and we had met him before because he visited us, but it ended up that my mom went with us, which was a blessing, because Bob and I know, you know, we don't speak Japanese. My mom did speak some Japanese enough to help us, and the fact that we were staying at her cousin's with her cousin's family was a blessing. But you know, I'm sure for Matt, and I think he does have a memory of it, because when we finally got him, he was like 22 months old.
Mm.
It was like, I think it was almost like being kidnapped, you know, like he was old enough to know what was going on.
You know where, huh?
Yeah. So it was, I think I told you, I mean, it was nice that we were able to stay at a home, and, you know, my relatives spoke Japanese, and my aunt cooked all for us, very familiar, I'm sure it was familiar food for him.
Yeah.
But he had this little cap, and when he was with us, he would just pull down his cap, like, to make everybody disappear.
Yeah.
But but still he, and I was so thankful for my mom being there, because he seemed to kind of attach to her right away. Maybe because she did speak a little Japanese, but. Anyways, he did, I think overall he made a really good adjustment, and I'm just so thankful for how God blessed us with Matt and Steph. I feel like, and I've told them, this was not plan B. This was God's perfect plan for us. He pretty much formed our family.
Mm.
I think it's just a testimony that when our, you know, God's plans are good.
Yeah.
And it's hard when it doesn't go your way, but, you know, I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
I think we all feel the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so awesome. That's so powerful, too, because you had said that all the things you've been through have been purposed by God. And it just draws me back to Proverbs 19:21 that says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to do it this way, and you absolutely, you were bought into that the Lord has his purpose and his plan through your situation that you went through.
Definitely,
Yeah, and I just love also, Nancy, just the observation that now, as a result of what you've gone through, you are now able to pray with and support others who are going through similar situations, and you're part of the prayer ministry, and you can now relate through similar circumstances.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think, all the things that I've gone through, all the difficulties, all the struggles, yeah, definitely have made me a more compassionate person. And just I can, you know, really feel for people and all the struggles they go. I mean, that's all of us, and we've all had different traumas and woundings. So yeah. I'm just so privileged to be part of that the prayer ministry, to see God touch people, bring healing and resolution and closure in their lives, and just making them, like our mission statement, to free to be and to experience all that God has called and created us to be. I mean, it's really a privilege to be part of that process.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's such a powerful ministry. And so I think I had asked you this before, but as far as a word of encouragement or advice that are going through similar circumstances or situation like what you have gone through, what would be your word of encouragement for others that are maybe in a situation where they don't have that control, kind of like what you experienced?
Mm-hmm. Well, my advice is first, go to the Lord and just have the conversation with him, mm-hmm. Bring him into whatever it is you're going through and ask him to direct you, because I feel like in my life, and I think for all of us, he's provided resources. He's provided people.
Yes.
I mean, I think Pastor Barry's always talking about the prayer ministry. You need help, there's help available. But first, I just go to God and just pour out your heart and ask him to direct you. Ask for his help, and he will. He'll show you the next step.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know is, well, what's the next step for me? What can I do? And
yes,
and realize, we are a family. That's been mm-hmm. emphasized lately. We're a family. You have people around you who you can ask for help, who will pray for you, who will love you and support you.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It could be counseling or talking to your pastor or just talking to a friend or talking to the person next to you.
Yeah.
Just ask God for direction.
Yeah. I just am so inspired by your story. As I look at some of the things that you're doing now, you were a facilitator for Pastor Barry's Hearing from God class. Then I just think that to me, it's so evident now that I see, I know your story and what you had to go through of giving up that control and just depending on God every step of the way to hear from him and have him lead the way and speak to you. And it's just so evident in the way that you facilitate you facilitated that workshop. We were just so blessed by that. And I think the other thing that you had said was, seek out other people. Maybe even seek someone that has medical advice or can help in that regard. And that aligns right to Proverbs 20:18 that said, plans are established by seeking advice. And that was another thing that you had mentioned. And one other thing that you mentioned was consider adoption too, as an alternative. And so I wonder if you want to speak to that.
Well, honestly, if I had my two kids like I was planning, I wouldn't have considered adoption. But but it was such a wonderful thing for us to do. And if you're able to, I just feel like every child deserves a loving home and family.
Yeah.
So I would, it's such a great thing to do to provide. I mean, you know, you'll change somebody's life and future and give a child an opportunity to know Christ as their Savior, you know, provide a Christian home. It's a win-win situation.
Yes, yes. And, you know, here's an observation, Nancy. God was showing you the playbook because we were orphans, but God sent Jesus to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. That's
right,
Galatians 4:5 in the New Living Translation.
Right, we're all adopted into his family.
All adopted. Yeah,
it's his good idea.
Yeah, yeah. So as you reflect back on both Matt and Stephanie, what are some of the things you're most thankful for about them as people, as your son and daughter?
It's really, when I think about Matt's devil, like, I feel like Matt, his personality is a lot like mine, and I feel like Steph's is a lot like Bob, so it's kind of, you know, very interesting, but I just appreciate, Matt is, he's a nurse that works at City of Hope, which is a cancer hospital, and he's just so, you know, I just love when he, like, stops by. He doesn't usually, well, sometimes he'll text before he comes over, but sometimes he just stops by and to have a lunch. I think he gets his hair cut out here. He and his wife live in Whittier.
Okay.
But, and then it's been fun to, like, his wife loves Disneyland, so they have they have Disney passes like us, so every once in a while we'll meet up there, or I don't know, we vacation together sometimes, or we have in the past. It's just, he's just a wonderful person.
Yeah.
You know, very thoughtful, and it's nice to have him close by. You know, when I had my hip surgery in September, he took some time off to spend with me, and it was nice. He's a nurse, and it's kind of nice to be able to ask him questions, you know, any kind of medical thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, he's just a wonderful son. And then Steph, she's Steph is getting married this year in November. She lives in Orlando. She works for Walt Disney World.
Yeah,
she was kind of, you know, when the kids were little, we had annual passes, and we probably had passes to Knott's, too, so, Bob's the one that really likes the amusement parks, but so they kind of, that's probably how Stephanie ended up working for Disney. She went there for an internship after college and ended up working there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, her wedding is next November in Orlando. And she's just, what I appreciate about Steph is she always remembers, you know, my birthday, Mother's Day. She always sends me flowers, but I really love her cards.
Yeah.
I think I read one last, I mean, she's so sweet, and she always tells me I'm the best mom she could ever hope for, and just very affirming. Always tells me, Mom, you're the best, and they're just such, she's a blessing too. It's funny because when I get a card from Matt and Steph, my daughter-in-law's name is Steph too. When I get a card, Steph writes very, you know, flowery, wonderful things. Like, the whole page is filled up. And then on the other side, it's, Dear Mom, happy birthday. Or, happy birthday, Mom. Love, Matt. It's always the same. But, yeah, my daughter-in-law, Steph, is a blessing, too.
Yeah.
They're a good couple. And, been praying for grandkids, but no grandkids yet, but that's another prayer.
That'll be the next podcast.
Exactly. I hope. That could be, but you know, maybe they'll adopt too. I don't know.
Yeah. There you go. Well, Nancy, as we wind down our time together, I just want to thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing a part of your life and inspirational journey with us. Mm. Yeah. And I'd like to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for your testimonies and pray for our listeners as well. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for showing us through Nancy's testimony that you really do cause all things to work out for good to those that love you and are called according to your purposes. That's Romans 8:28. Thank you, Jesus, for providing Bob and Nancy with the gift of their son Matt and daughter Stephanie. And Jesus, you show us time and time again that you redeem every struggle, every difficulty, every valley that we could ever encounter in our lives. Thank you for reminding us through Nancy's testimonies that, Lord, her life has been purposed by you. And as a reminder to all of us that many are the plans in our hearts, but it is your purposes that prevail. That's Proverbs 19:21. Thank you that Jesus, that through Nancy's struggles, she has learned to give up control and surrender everything to you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, how now you are using Nancy to help others through trying times, whether it's praying for others, encouraging other women and couples that are going through similar circumstances. And speaking of prayer, God, help us to turn to you, not just with some things, but as Nancy's favorite scripture verse and my favorite scripture verse say, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that we may let our requests known to you, God, and then that peace, Lord, that peace from you, which surpasses understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, Lord God, I pray for a continued blessing and covering over the Ozawa home as it continues to be a house of rest, house of peace and joy for those that need it. Richly bless both Bob and Nancy as they practice hospitality that the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans 12:13. And now, Jesus, may you continue to use these testimonies in Nancy's life to inspire others and inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Nancy. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.